You want the inspectors that can communicate well, that have a good quality report, and are highly referred to by many other people. G'day and welcome to the Make It With Miles podcast. Hi, Miles Clark here, and this is where we talk all shit about building construction, the real estate industry through the lens of a building inspector. And then every now and then we dabble in a bit of personal development stuff because, you know what, I like that sort of stuff and I think it's good for you. Anyway, on this episode, this is an episode of The Shed. Now, we have two formats to the podcast. So we have The Shed, where we discuss all those things about building construction, and then The Journey, which is where we dabble in that personal development stuff. So, The Shed, today. Today's topic, we are having a chinwag about tips for first home buyers during the inspection process. So you finally saved up your $250,000 in cash, which took you 25 years. You know, you're hitting about 50 now and you're looking to buy your first home. And these are some tips for people like that getting into the actual real estate industry themselves and buying properties. And just some things to understand about that whole process, things to look for, especially as a first home buyer, because it is a big purchase. And you need to be definitely aware of it. Now, first things first, you're going to get a home inspection done. You may have no choice to do that. There are lenders now that are requiring first home buyers to get a building inspection put in place to purchase a property. Because if you were not aware, when you buy a house, it is not your house. It's the bank's house. The bank's the ones with the money. You have the mortgage, you're paying it off, but it's the bank's property. So they just, what they do is they get you to do a building inspection to ensure that their asset that you're purchasing on their behalf is up to scratch. If it's an absolute piece of shit and you're paying $5.8 million or whatever you're doing these days, it puts them in a good state to ensure that they're mitigating their risk and you're not buying a lemon, okay? So the importance of a home inspection is absolutely critical because there are a lot of properties, especially when you're in a first home buyer and you don't have a lot of money to buy a big established house that's all pretty and beautiful. Most of the time you're on a bit of a budget because you're entering the market, which is completely fair and reasonable. These properties have defects, they have issues, they have problems. And you need to have a qualified building inspector come through to ensure, or even someone in your family that is a builder or knows a lot about construction and can understand the defects that are there to ensure that what you're buying isn't going to cause you dramas down the road. And as well as that, you're not going to waste your money, okay? So seeking guidance from building inspectors is super critical because they can understand what issues are there and what are not there. And the ones that are there might just be general maintenance bullshit, which is definitely expected on every fucking job I've done. As well as that, as you go through this process, it's good to get some advice from real estate agents as well, okay? So they are going to need to look after you to a degree where, yeah, you're inexperienced. They're going to help you step by step. That goes for your conveyancer, that goes for your mortgage broker. It's about getting a good team of people around you to ensure you are set up for success and you're not going to be set up for failure, okay? So some tips to help find yourself a good quality building inspector. I think tip one would be to speak to your conveyancer. Now, the conveyancers actually read our reports. They know who's local in the local area. They know the quality of the reports. The good conveyancers are ones that call inspectors to just have a conversation about some of the defects to ensure that they're written accordingly to comply with the contract of sale. Say you're trying to exit a contract and there's a major defect. So they usually have a good relationship with who's good and who's not. That's step one. Step two, there's nothing wrong with asking real estate agents, okay? Yes, we have this understanding that real estate agents are these horrible creatures, salesmen that annoy you and call you all the time, but they will recommend inspectors that do good quality work, okay? So they will not recommend inspectors that go to a house, find a couple of minor defects, blow them up into some major issue so the inspector covers their ass, because that's not a good inspector. That's a fucking useless dickhead. Because things like that is what ruins the purchase of properties and ruins the whole experience these buyers go through. So that's who you do not want. And as well as that, you don't want the ones that skip over everything. They're in and out in 15 minutes and apparently they've inspected the house because they're also full of shit. All right. You want the inspectors that can communicate well, that have a good quality report and are highly referred to by many other people. So me personally, got the Google reviews, it's all 5-star, everything's really good. When you read the reviews, that's the important part. Read the reviews and just say, all right, well, it was on time, communicated well, The report was detailed. I could follow up with a phone call. You know, all these types of things are very important. So when you speak to these inspectors and you start, you know, getting some numbers, getting some names and putting a bit of a list together of who you're going to engage, because it is an expensive process, but it's more or less an investment for what you're doing. In that process, you want to make sure when you're speaking to these inspectors that they actually genuinely want to help you, that they give a shit. They're not there just to make a buck and bail. They'll answer every question you have, and you ask as many questions as you want to get clarity and build that trust with that person, okay? Now, some things to understand about the inspection scope itself, which is very important because not a lot of people understand this as well, is that we don't cover everything. We don't go through, check all the electrical components. We don't go through, check all the plumbing components. We don't check all the heating and cooling to see if it's working. There's all these service-based aspects of the property that we don't actually cover. We cover major building defects, minor building defects. We go on the outside of the roof. We go inside the roof. We make sure everything in there is all good. We're not checking things like, is this structurally compliant? Has the engineer put enough beams in here for that? We don't have the capacity to actually do that, all right? So we go in and give a good, we more or less paint a picture of the house and tell a story about all the issues that are there, how important they are to fix. Some are major defects, which has major issues and you have to get it fucking sorted. And some are just minor defects that, you know, in time need to be rectified, or some might need to be rectified sooner than later, okay? So be mindful of that. And based on that, when you go back to these properties, now I highly recommend this for first home buyers. Get access to the house while they're doing the building inspection, okay? Speak to the agent. They're the ones that usually crack the sads. Not because of them, usually because of the vendors might not want you in the house or something like that. Inspectors should be sweet with it. I usually get my clients to come towards the back end so they're not standing around for an hour, you know, doing nothing. Get them towards the back end while I'm finishing up, and then we can go through the house and you can point out all the defects, have a bit of a Q&A and actually have a conversation about what's there rather than read it from a very detailed report, which you'll get anyway. But with that, you can just get some clarity and get that emotional feel as to how important some of these items are. To add to that, while you're there, you can do all the things that are outside the scope of the building inspector. Turn on and off the gas stoves. Turn on and off the range hoods. Make sure the lighting's all sweet. Play around with the heating and cooling, see if it's pumping out heat, see if it's pumping out all the cool air. Have a play with all those services to make sure they're all up to scratch, okay? Because in your contract of sale, you really want to have all services working adequately to ensure that when you go into the house, you don't have to put a brand new split system in, you know, brand new hottie, brand new, all this, okay? So be mindful of that when you're there. You can do all those odds and sods. You can have a look around, get the feel for it, feel like you're about to move in. And then you can also speak to that building inspector about any of the defects that do come up, which they definitely will come up, and have a conversation about how to rectify them through that process, okay? Asking questions. Ask as many fucking questions as you have. There are no dumb questions, especially if you're a new home buyer and you just spent years trying to save all that money to buy that house. You should have a million questions to ask because you need to be feeling comfortable with what you're actually purchasing. And some people are more than comfortable to buy an old shitter that they're going to renovate and things like that. That's very, very common. For me, in those situations, I ask them to what extent they want to renovate things and give them some guidance as to, all right, what you're saying isn't easy. It's a pretty big fucking job and you'll be engaging other people to do it and it's going to cost you a significant amount of money. Aesthetic changes and stuff like that, there's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. That's a pretty easy process. You can just go in, change the carpets, put some paint in, crack on. That's no dramas at all. And that's common with most general homes with general defects to do those types of things, okay? So ask as many questions as you got because it's very, very, very important for that process. Now, if you do come across major structural defects and things like that, you can get out of the contract, okay? Now, there's a couple of things, especially with first home buyers, is when you're buying these properties, usually the properties themselves are actually the low end. They're the shitters because that's the starting line in the property market itself, okay? So it might be worth doing the building inspection itself during the cooling off period for your contract of sale. So you can exit the contract based on whatever reason, okay? So you might get a building report back, no major defects, but a shitload of minor defects and realize, holy shit, we've bought ourselves a house that we have to spend years just to try to get to the starting line. There's no major issues. It just hasn't been looked after, okay? So you can still exit the contract based on the cooling off period rather than the building inspection itself. Is that a great option for everyone? Probably not. I think people that are a bit more in the market and understand things, it's probably not that necessary. But if you are a first home buyer, it just gives you that extra sort of buffer to ensure you can exit that contract whenever you want, if you don't feel comfortable about it. And you can just continue proceeding and you'll have no issues with that. But if there are major defects, you can negotiate price. Because if you legitimately can exit a contract based on a major issue, you can either get them to fix it, and then you want proof that it's been fixed correctly, or you can negotiate a cost reduction to the actual home itself. You might take 25 grand off to fix that defect. In those situations, especially first home buyers and vendors, if the vendor and agents are a bit lazy, you can get a pretty hefty discount, I must admit, to fix these defects. I've seen leaks in bathrooms that would be a $4,000 fix, and they've taken a $25,000 discount off the house because the vendor was lazy. They didn't check, understand things. The agent didn't work too hard for it, obviously. And they got themselves a ripper discount. So they can, got 25 grand off the house. They've only got to fork out four to fix the issue, and they've saved themselves 20 off the house, which is unbelievable, okay? So be mindful of those things. As well as that, when you go through and you have these major defects, sometimes be mindful that there might be some other expertise that are needed to come in to help give more clarity to what that defect is, okay? And this really comes into play with structural movement in homes. I see it all the time. When there's structural movement in homes, or signs of structural movement, or signs of water leaks, plumbers. Plumbers are fucking number one. You'll be doing in-ground plumbing inspections to ensure that all the in-grounds, things that obviously we can't see, are all adequate, because fixing those things, especially if it's under a slab, are fucking expensive processes, and you do not want to be the one holding the bucket and spending all that dollary dues trying to fix those defects after you purchase the property. So it is worth it sometimes if the building inspector says, I'm not sure on the defects that are here, they're major, they're minor. If this occurs, if there are major plumbing issues, then this is going to be a major defect. This house is going to sink over a long period of time, and that's actually going to cause you a lot of dramas and cost you a lot of money. So you might be getting in other expertise to help sort of formalize and give clarity as to what the defects are. So you're pretty well good to go from that. But as well as that, also consider future maintenance, all right? When you buy a house, you've got to maintain it like a car. It's crazy to believe this, but they fucking deteriorate. So with all those minor defects and that building report you get, it's just a massive hit list of jobs to do to get the house back up to scratch. So it's back to how a house should be. People these days don't look after the houses as much as, I must say, the older generation do. I find this more with the older generation. When I'm walking into their houses themselves, you can tell that they're old because everything's fucking clean. Everything's been maintained. They've tinkered here, they've tinkered there, they've looked after this, they've looked after that. And that has compounded over those years and has provided a quality home towards the back end. So think about that for the resale impact. So when you're buying a house and there's all these defects, remember, in 5 years, if they're not fixed, this is going to be the same issue moving forward, okay? That goes for major defects as well, okay? Think about the resale when you buy the house, because it's a long-term investment. So when you come into it, you're going to understand all the defects at the present. You're going to rectify them accordingly. Towards the back end of that, you'll understand that once you fix all those things up, this house is going to be better than what it was when you bought it. So therefore, the resale value, let's say everything is at a level playing field, is going to increase. Okay, so keep that in mind. So to recap, get a good team around you, good real estate agent, good conveyancer, good mortgage broker, a building inspector who can communicate and isn't a dickhead. And then understand the whole aspects and go back through. You want to make sure, ideally, you're on site. You can ask those questions. Ask as many questions as you want. Check the things that building inspectors don't check. Make sure that the maintenance on the home after you purchase it is up to scratch. Again, if you're going to go through the contract of sale process and be subject to a building inspection, maybe you try to get that building inspector out in that cooling off period to help mitigate any issues, and you can just exit whenever you want, because your money is so important to you. It's so hard now for people to enter the market itself. To save $150,000 deposit is a fucking big deal, and it should be taken seriously. So your decision should be taken seriously, and you need the right people around you to do that. Well, I hope that provided some value for first home buyers, because trust me, you want to make the right choices. Give us a rating, give us a like, that would be much appreciated, and we will see you on the next one.